I'll take the subject of our study this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. I want to begin reading it, verse 18, and read through verse 20. Thank John for the good reading we had of this text earlier. I want to read it because the subject of our study is in this particular text. In Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18 from the New King James Version, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Jesus commands all people in becoming disciples to be baptized into the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. A little preposition in is literally into. That is, when we're baptized into a relationship with the Godhead. Baptism is extremely important. It's clear from this particular text that we just read here that it's based upon the authority of Jesus Christ in verse 18. It's fundamental to one becoming a disciple of Christ, verse 19. And not only that, Jesus wants everyone to be taught about it because he teaches about it. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So these things are important regarding baptism. Yet, not everyone understands baptism and the teaching about baptism. So they practice it in different ways. Baptism is highly controversial in the religious world in which we live, in the country in which we live, because people simply do not understand it. There's two main views regarding the purpose or the goal of baptism. Some say that they believe baptism is simply a sign that a person has already been forgiven of sins. That is, he's baptized because his sins are already forgiven. He just does that because God commands it. And it demonstrates that he's already saved before baptism. Of course, others believe that one must be baptized in order to be saved. That is, in order to receive the remission of sins. Well, someone might say, well, why does it matter? What's so important about the purpose of baptism? Why does it matter whether one believes that he's already saved before baptism, or one believes that baptism is necessary for salvation or in order to have the remission of sins? What difference does it matter? Well, it matters a great deal. As long as a person is baptized, it matters. Acts of service to God must be done, not only in obedience to God's will, but must be done from the right motive. That is, God is concerned about why it is you're doing it. We learn that in several places in the New Testament. Romans 6 and verse 17, Paul said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin," note this, "you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." You obeyed from the heart. What does it mean, they obeyed from the heart? The heart here is put for the man. That is, when one obeys, he must have an understanding of why it is he obeys. And that obedience must be in sincerity. That is, he must be sincere in his obedience. The heart being put for the man means that one has to understand why it is he's obeying. God wants to know what motive you have that's behind your actions. This is taught in many other places in the Scripture as well. 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 1 and following, Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Love must be the motivating factor. Love must be behind your actions, Paul says, in the exercise of these spiritual gifts. God is concerned about the motive. He's concerned about your sincerity and your obedience. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Some people will do those things mentioned in verse 3, but not motivated by love. It's of no profit to them. God is interested in your motive. Why it is you obey. What's the purpose of your obedience? And when God assigns a purpose to an act that He requires, the purpose becomes part of the pattern. It becomes part of the requirement. In 2 John and in verse 9, John said, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Either one is going to remain within the authority of the doctrine or teaching of Christ, or he's going to go outside that authority. So either one is going to remain in the teaching of Christ. That is, if Christ requires a particular purpose in regard to something, such as the exercise of spiritual gifts out of the motive of love, it must be engaged in out of that motive, out of that purpose. And it becomes God's pattern. To do otherwise is to go outside the bounds of the teaching of God's Word. That be the case, you will not have fellowship with the Father or either with the Son, either one. So why one is baptized is very important. We have an example in the New Testament where there were some who were baptized, but they had to be baptized again. That means that the baptism that they underwent originally did not accomplish the goal or the purpose that needed to be accomplished. Acts 19, in verse 1 and following, we read of such individuals. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, when he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit, he means, did you receive a gift of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit here is used by metonymy. The Holy Spirit is mentioned when a gift of the Holy Spirit is under consideration. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? Note that. Into what then were you baptized? Note that preposition in. So they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Know this. When they heard this, they were baptized in, literally into the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, they were baptized into Christ. They were baptized into the person. In the name here doesn't mean by the authority. The preposition is into. They were baptized into Christ. Earlier they had been baptized into John's baptism. But now they're baptized into Christ. After this, of course, Paul laid hands on them and they began to speak in tongues or work miracles. Well, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit that he asked about. But the point is, under consideration, that the purpose of one's baptism is important. It's important. If it doesn't match the purpose of the teaching of the New Testament, then it can't be considered scriptural baptism in order for the remission of sins. I want to look with you this morning at several scriptures, six in all, as we consider these as fundamental passages regarding the purpose of baptism. We could look at others, but these will be sufficient for the cause. The first is Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, where Jesus said, as Mark records in the giving of his great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, where does this passage, look at it closely and very carefully, where does this passage of Scripture place salvation in relation to baptism? Does salvation come before baptism? Or is it a result of baptism? Think about that. Just look at the passage very clearly. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. We can no more be saved before baptism than we can before believing. Look at the passage. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. Now, if you take away either of those ones, you don't have 2. Well, if you take away faith, you don't have salvation. If you take away baptism, you don't have salvation. It takes both of them to bring about salvation. Do we not see that in the text? Someone would respond and say, well, it says you'll be condemned if you do not believe. But it doesn't say you will be condemned if you're not baptized. I want you to think about that argument. The Bible does not always spell out what we have to do to be lost. If it did, then the Bible would be so large we'd have to have a truck to haul it around on. But the Bible tells us what to do to be saved, not what to do to be lost. It tells us what to do to be saved and expects us to realize that. And if we do it, we'll be saved. If we do not do it, we'll be lost. According to Luke 7 and verse 30, the Pharisees and lawyers had rejected the will of God when they rejected John's baptism. If someone today rejects the baptism of Christ and the giving of the Great Commission, he rejects the will of God. In Mark 16, in verse 16, Jesus says we must do 2 things in order to be saved. Believe the gospel and be baptized. Now to be lost, you only need to omit one of them. Omit either one of them. Leave out either one of them and you'll be lost. But if you believe the gospel, you will be baptized.
Amen.
If you do not believe the gospel, you probably won't be baptized. To be lost is easy. As Brother Pike often tells us, you just don't have to do anything to be lost. To be lost is easy. Just don't believe and you'll be lost. But to be saved is much harder. You have to believe and be baptized. As a matter of fact, what does the gospel say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes. He who believes what? He who believes the gospel. So if you don't believe the gospel, you're not going to be baptized. What the gospel teaches is that you need to believe and be baptized. That's what the gospel teaches. Believe the gospel. Well, if you're going to believe the gospel, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the gospel and be baptized because that's what the gospel teaches. Note the difference between what man says and clearly what the gospel says. Man says he who believes is saved and may then be baptized. But the gospel says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Another passage that concerns the purpose of baptism is Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said to them, on the day of Pentecost, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, where does this passage place remission? The remission or forgiveness of sins in relation to baptism. Does it place the remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins before baptism or after baptism? If you'll just look at the passage very closely, you'll see that both repentance and baptism are required for the remission of sins. You might say that both repentance and baptism are required for salvation, as we saw in Mark 16 and verse 16, where belief and baptism are required for salvation. And what does remission of sins mean? It means the forgiveness of sins. Repentance and baptism is for, that is in order to, the forgiveness of sin, as the American Standard Version and other versions indicate. But some say for means because of here. But it possibly could mean because Because our word for in the English language does mean because sometime. For example, he received a ticket for speeding. That is, because he had been speeding, not in order that he might speed. So he received a ticket for speeding because he was speeding. So for can have this meaning in English, but the word does not have that meaning in this text. Consider the people to whom Peter was speaking on this occasion. If for means because they already had remission of sins, as the denominational world says, then Peter must have been talking to people who were already saved, was he? That's what the denominational world says. That baptism is because of the remission of sins. That is, they had already believed. Acts 2 and verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Since they had already believed, the denominational world says, they were baptized because of, they'd already received the remission of sins. No, for means in order to receive the remission of sins. Peter is not speaking to people who's already saved. As a matter of fact, he had just convicted them of killing Jesus in Acts 2 and verse 36. And they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter then told them to repent. If they had already had the remission of sins, why would he tell them to repent? They had no sins to be remitted or to be forgiven if they were already saved. The command to repent proves these people were not saved, but they were sinners in need of receiving forgiveness of sins. Peter also told them to be saved from this wicked or perverse generation in Acts 2 and verse 40. Peter didn't think they were saved, and the Holy Spirit that inspired Peter to speak on this occasion didn't think they were saved. Only those of the denominational world who says for means because of thinks they were saved. So surely these were not saved people being told what to do because they had remission. They were lost sinners being told what to do to receive the remission of sins. That's what they were being told to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for in order to receive the remission of sins. The remission of sins in Acts 2:38 is exactly the same as the phrase in Matthew 26 and verse 28 when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper and says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins." Did Jesus shed his blood because people's sins had already been remitted? No, he shed his blood in order to bring about the remission of sins. And so one is baptized in order to receive the remission of sins. Suppose a person was baptized now without understanding that the gospel says he should be baptized in order to receive the remission of sins. Suppose he believed he was saved before baptism. Then he would be baptized in order to receive the remission of sins if he was baptized scripturally. But if he believed that he was already saved before baptism, he wouldn't be being baptized for the right reason or the right purpose. And the purpose is important to God. God wants to know, why are you engaging in this action? Again, 1 Corinthians 13. Why were they engaging in the action of these spiritual gifts? Was it out of love? Great. If not, it meant nothing. God is concerned about your motive in obedience. You know, a lot of people are motivated to assemble with the saints on the Lord's Day because of many different reasons. Because their family attends. Because of political pursuits. Perhaps they want to run for some political office and they want the vote of the members of a particular church where they're going. Perhaps it might be because of financial reasons. They want the business of those who they're meeting with. And so the motive matters to God. The motive in baptism matters to God as well. If one is baptized thinking his sins have already been forgiven, why is he being baptized? What's the goal that he has in mind? What's the purpose that he has in mind? It's not the scriptural purpose. For, in order to receive the remission of sins, thus he is not scripturally baptized. Another passage of scripture that speaks about the purpose of baptism is 1 Peter 3 and in verse 20 and following, where Peter said, "Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So just as Noah and his family were saved by or through the means of water, that's right, God used water to bring about the destruction of the world in Noah's day. It was by or through the means of water that most of the world was destroyed. But by or through the means of water, God also saved Noah and his family. And it is like our baptism. By or through the means of water, God also saves us in the water of baptism. Now, being baptized in the water is not the removal of the filth of the flesh. We're not washing the flesh, dirt, bacteria from the flesh in baptism. But note this, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. Why would he even say that to those to whom he was writing? Because the Jews underwent a lot of ceremonial purification. That is, they ceremonially cleaned their bodies in order to go into the presence of God. The priests could not serve in the tabernacle or the temple unless they washed their bodies first. That is, they purified their flesh first. And so that's why Peter makes that statement. Baptism is not that. It's not the ceremonial process of washing dirt from the body. What is it? It's the answer of a good conscience. It's not because you have a good conscience you're baptized. It's an inappropriate translation in regard to answer. The word answer here means a pleading, a beseeching. It's a request that you make to God to cleanse your conscience from dead works. So when you submit to baptism to be saved, you're submitting in order for God to cleanse your conscience. You're pleading with Him and begging Him to give you a clean conscience. If you already had a clean conscience, why would you be baptized? You're baptized in order to have a clean conscience, so you can pillow your head at night knowing you're in a right relationship with God, knowing your sins have been forgiven, knowing your sins have been washed away. So what's the purpose of baptism? The purpose of baptism is to be saved. If one is baptized for some other person, for some other reason, for some other purpose, it's not scriptural baptism. The purpose of baptism is to be saved. Another passage that speaks of the purpose of baptism is Galatians 3, 26-27. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, how many people are in Christ? Let me ask you that. How many people are in Christ? Just as many as are baptized into Christ. That's how many. Everybody that's baptized into Christ is in a relationship with Christ. All who have not been baptized are not in a relationship with Christ. They're not in fellowship with Christ. And they're not in fellowship with the Godhead. Comes back to our text, Matthew 28. We're baptized into the name of. Into the name of. That is, into a relationship with the Godhead, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, why is it important to be in Christ? Because you're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, having been baptized into Christ. If you're not baptized into Christ, if you've not come into a relationship in Christ, if you've not undergone baptism for the purpose of getting in that relationship, you're not a son or child of God. It's just that simple. You see, the purpose matters. But those who are baptized, not in order to be saved, those who are baptized not with the purpose of coming into a relationship with Christ, those who are baptized not with the purpose of receiving the forgiveness or the remission of sins, they're not in Christ. They need to think about that seriously. There's a lot of people who are baptized, no doubt every Lord's Day, but they never come into a relationship with Christ Jesus. They never come into a relationship with the Godhead. They're just as much out of a relationship with God as they were before they were ever baptized. Why? Because they're baptized for the wrong purpose. The purpose matters. If we're not baptized for the purpose of having our sins removed, being forgiven, if we're not baptized for the purpose of being saved, if we're not baptized for the purpose of getting into a relationship with the Godhead, we're being baptized for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Being in Christ means we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption means liberation, deliverance, freedom from sin, thus the forgiveness of sins. Where is that found? In Christ Jesus. But if one is not baptized for the purpose of getting into a relationship with Christ Jesus, he is not delivered and forgiven of his sins. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, Paul says, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. But if one is not baptized for the purpose of getting into a relationship with Christ, he's not in a relationship where salvation is made available. So though many people may be baptized today, and they're baptized for the wrong purpose or the wrong reason, they're still not saved. Still not saved. That's why a lot of people don't understand that sometimes when a denominationalist comes and visits the church here, we'll just not accept them on their denominational baptism. They say, well, I was baptized years ago. For what reason were they baptized? It matters. It matters. 1 John 5 and verse 11, John said, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is where? It's in His Son. How do you get into a relationship with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? You're baptized into that relationship. It's where eternal life is found. If you're not baptized for the purpose of getting into a relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ and even the Holy Spirit, you're being baptized for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. Amen. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Even church members need to read carefully this passage. There is no spiritual blessing outside of Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're not in a relationship, or you're not in the realm where spiritual blessings exist. There are no spiritual blessings outside the realm of Christ. None. All are in Him. And the way to get in Him is to be baptized into Him. But yet, many in the denominational world say they have access to spiritual blessings even though they've not been baptized into a relationship with Christ. You simply do not have any access to any spiritual blessing outside of Christ. They're all in Christ. And they all can be partaken of as children of God in this life. Now suppose a person was baptized without understanding. They needed to be baptized into a relationship with Christ where all of these spiritual blessings exist. Suppose they thought they already had all of these spiritual blessings by faith only. they would be utterly mistaken. In Christ, we're sons or children of God. That's where sonship is found. Not found in any other place. Salvation is found in Christ. Deliverance from our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, is located in a relationship with Christ Jesus. Eternal life is there. Every spiritual blessing exists there. And the only way to access every spiritual blessing into Christ is to be baptized into Him. There is simply no other way.
Amen.
So it matters why you're baptized. God has a purpose for baptism. Let's consider another. Romans 6 and verse 3, Paul said, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" The purpose of being baptized is to be baptized into the death of Christ. But if one believes he's saved before he's baptized into the death of Christ, he makes a terrible mistake. Baptism is for the purpose of putting us into the death of Christ. This verse says again, exactly as Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, we're baptized into Jesus. But it also says we're baptized into Jesus' death, and that's important. Why is Jesus' death important to us? It was in His death that He shed His blood. And that blood that He shed in His death saves us from our sin. John 19 and verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was already dead, they did not break His legs. But one of the soldiers pierced His side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Jesus shed His blood in His death. And we're baptized into the death of Christ. For what purpose? In order to appropriate the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't partake of the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ unless we're baptized into the death of Christ where He shed His blood. Surely that's easy enough to understand. So in baptism, we simply receive the benefits of Jesus' death. We appropriate the benefits of His death to us when we're baptized into His death. For, in order to receive the remission of sins. Another purpose of baptism is mentioned in Acts 22 and verse 16. Where Saul of Tarsus was told, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So the purpose of baptism is to have one's sins washed away. It's similar to having one's sins remitted, forgiven. Just simply another way of saying that same thing. Where is this washing away of sins in the passage, though? It's not before baptism. It's in baptism. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If no one's baptized for the purpose of having his sins washed away, is his sins washed away? Of course not. Paul was not saved on this occasion. His sins had not already been washed away. His sins had not already been forgiven. If that be the case, then Ananias, who was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't know it. Nor did Jesus Christ Himself know it. When Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Saul was still in his sins on this occasion, even though he had seen the resurrected Lord, even though he had been praying for 3 days. You know, many denominations says you got to pray for salvation. Well, Paul had been praying for 3 days. He still was not saved, and he was still in his sins because he's told to wash away his sins. That prayer didn't take away his sins. He needed to be baptized to have his sins washed away. If sins are forgiven before baptism, then Saul's sins would have been forgiven before baptism because he had seen the resurrected Lord. He had been praying for 3 days. If anybody could have been saved without baptism, it should have been the Apostle Paul. But he had to be saved by or through baptism. Just like everybody has to be saved by or through baptism. One would say, well, there's no power in the water to wash away sins. You're right, the power's not in the water. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Revelation 1 and verse 5. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, John said to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Christ's blood washes away our sins. But when do we appropriate the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ? Romans 6 again in verse 3, when we're baptized into the death of Christ. So when we're baptized into the death of Christ, our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. What washes our sins away? The blood of Christ. When does it happen? In baptism. It matters why one is baptized. The purpose of baptism is very important. According to the passages that we just looked at, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, baptism is required in order to be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Acts 2 and verse 38 teaches that baptism is for in order to receive the remission of sins. Remember Acts 2 and verse 40, Jesus told them to be saved from this perverse generation. If they were already saved, why would he tell them to be saved? They weren't saved, regardless of what the denomination world says. They were sinners in need of salvation. And thus, baptism is for the remission of sins. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 20, baptism saves us. Just as God used water to save Noah and his family, God uses water to save us. Now, Noah and his family were saved physically. By the water of baptism, we're saved spiritually. Galatians 3, 26, 27, we're baptized into Christ. That's a reason or purpose to be baptized. Get into a relationship with Christ. Get into a relationship with the Godhead so you can call upon God as your Father. If you're not baptized for the purpose of getting into a relationship, you're being baptized for the wrong purpose. The wrong reason. Romans 6 and verse 3. We're baptized into Jesus' death. If you're not being baptized in order to appropriate the blood shed in the death of Christ, you're being baptized for the wrong reason. You won't appropriate the benefits of the blood of Christ outside of baptism. The benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ is made available in baptism and no other place. Acts 22 and verse 16, baptism is when one's sins are washed away. So why is it you're waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Perhaps you don't understand the purpose of baptism or have it in times past. I hope this will help you. Hope it will help you not only in your own salvation, but perhaps as you teach and help to lead and guide others to know of the salvation that is made available in Christ Jesus by or through the means of being baptized into Him for the remission of sins. If you're here this morning, again, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Because if you've not been baptized for the right purpose, for the right reason, like those in Acts 19, perhaps you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to be baptized into relationship with Him. Because maybe when you were baptized years ago, you weren't baptized for the right reason, the right purpose. And you need to make it right today. If you've done that in times past, come into a right relationship with God by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. But as a child of God, you have sin in your life. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you of that sin if you'll repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.